This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Sarah Gardner. Personal finance columnist and debt expert Liz Weston joins us now. Liz, thanks for coming in today.
It's my pleasure, Sarah.
You are our go-to person on credit card debt, of course.
Yes.
And lately, we have had a lot of letters from listeners who have problems with the plastic, so to speak. And our first question comes from listener Jackie Fuchs right here in Los Angeles. She wrote to us, and I quote, "I've had my Visa card with the same bank for a couple of decades. However, I've grown extremely unhappy with their process for dispute resolution and their poor customer service. It's a mileage card with an annual fee of $100. She wants to get a card with a different provider, Liz, but does it make sense, she asks, to get a different provider? What does that do to her credit rating? So if she gets a new card, should she cancel the old one, or is it worth the $100 a year to keep the card she's had a long time on her credit report? What do you think?
Well, we tell people if they're in credit score improvement mode not to shut down accounts, because shutting down an account can lower the available credit you have, and that can mess with the credit scoring formula. It can make your score drop by some points. So you definitely don't want to close accounts if you're about to get a major loan like a mortgage, an auto loan, something like that. But people have internalized that to mean I can never close an account and I have to pay these egregious fees. And that is not the case at all.
Right.
Here's the thing. You lose that available credit when you close the account, but the account doesn't disappear from your credit report entirely. It's still contributing, the age of the account and all that. It's all good stuff. So if you don't want to pay that fee, if your scores are already good and you're not going to be in the market for a major loan, then go ahead and close the card. You don't have to keep paying that fee into infinity just because it's your oldest card.
Right, right. Liz, let's go to the phones now. Our caller today is Katie Hanshue in Chicago. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
Katie, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do in Chicago?
I'm a nurse.
You're a nurse. Full-time nurse?
I am a full-time nurse, yeah.
Okay. And do you have any kids or...
Nope, I'm single, but I've been a nurse for approximately almost 2 years now.
So what's your question?
Okay, well, I'm in about $30,000 worth of debt.
$30,000?
Yeah, and $3,000 of that is student loans. The school that I went to was like a two-year program, and I essentially had to live off my credit cards for like 3 years. And I know that's not the best case scenario, but that's what happened. You know, I'd have to put gas and food on my credit card, and every time I would cringe, you know?
Right, right.
But it, my credit history is kind of just like a perfect storm.
Just right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tell us, I'm curious, how old were you when you started racking up all this? How did you get into this credit card habit in the first place?
I was 18 and they signed me up on my college campus.
Aha. like a lot of us.
Yeah. So, you know, and then through the years, like certain things had occurred and, you know, I just, you know, accumulated a little bit more debt and more debt. And then with school, like I said, that was really kind of like what happened. But I have one card in particular that my interest rate is 25.99.
Wow.
On a balance of 15,000.
Let me ask you, how many cards do you have?
I have like six.
Six. Okay.
Two are like revolving accounts. I know I'm guilty too. You know what it's not just them. Like I have my hand in this.
So Liz, $30,000 in debt, six credit cards, one card at 25.99%. Liz, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to assume, Katie, that you've tried to get your interest rates down and they basically said no.
They said no.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Yes, I can, because, you know, they don't really have any incentive to lower that interest rate. They're making some good money off of you.
$2,500 this year on that one alone.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your income?
It's $60,000.
Okay. All right. But you're in Chicago, which is a fairly high cost of living place. I do want to step back to the idea that you have to live off credit cards, because you did have an option, Katie. You could have taken out more student loans. I don't know if you could have taken a job while you were in training. Probably nurses training is pretty intense. But
well, I did have a job, but I wasn't able to work more than a couple nights a week.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens. And, you know, a lot of people get really twitchy about student loan debt and they want to keep it as low as possible. But if the alternative is putting charges on your credit card, you're really undermining yourself. Because if you look at federal student loans, they are fixed rate. You know, it's not low, but 6.8% is certainly better than 25.99%.
Right.
They have a lot of consumer protections. You have a lot of choices of payment plans. So if the choice is to put a, you know, your living expenses on your credit cards or on a student loans win hands down. So that's just something for other parents or other students out there to know. But now we're in the situation that we're in. $30,000 of debt on a $60,000 income is not insurmountable.
Okay.
You're right at the bubble point where I would say you need to make two appointments. You should talk to a legitimate credit counseling agency, and you can find one through the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. That's nfcc.org.
Okay.
And those folks will probably be able to put you on a payment plan that will allow you to pay off this debt over 3 to 5 years at a lower interest rate.
Okay.
Your next appointment should be with a bankruptcy attorney.
Okay.
Because the credit counselors are trying to steer you away from bankruptcy. The bankruptcy attorney will tell you all of the benefits of bankruptcy. You need to hear both perspectives to make a choice.
Right.
Liz, what do you think, though? I mean, filing for personal bankruptcy, that sounds so dramatic. Is that something she should really consider? Would that be helpful?
Here's the thing. Most people don't consider bankruptcy until it's far, far too late. And they've done stupid things like drain their retirement accounts or drain their home equity, trying to pay bills that are simply impossible to pay. And when your debt, when your credit card debt gets to be about half your income, that's when you need to start thinking about, can I get out of this hole? And I think if Katie talks to both the credit counselor and the bankruptcy attorney, she'll have a better idea of whether she can get out of this hole. I, you know, just with the facts that you've given me, the fact that you're single, you're not paying for kids, you know, that you have some flexibility now tells me that if you really put your mind to it, I think you can get out of this hole.
Right.
But there are other people who have expenses to such an extent that the same amount of debt would take them 5 or 10 years to pay off. And then bankruptcy starts looking better because you can get a fresh start and you can start rebuilding your credit. So I'm not saying, you know, people should walk away from their debt, but the vast majority of people who go through bankruptcy, it is a last option, and it's one they should have considered a lot sooner than they did.
Katie, you said at the beginning of the call, you said something about your credit history being the perfect storm. What did you mean by that?
Well, it started out, you know, when I was in college and purchasing a couple things here and there. And then after college, the gentleman that I was seeing at the time, actually, we co-signed on a loan, and then I ended up having to absorb that. And then a little bit later, my credit card was stolen, and I had to pay for the charges.
Wait a minute. Your credit card was stolen, but you had to pay for
the
charges?
Gosh, this was back in like 2004, 2005 maybe. But then shortly after, I moved to Los Angeles, and I kind of got back on my feet, and then I had to move back home because I wanted to help take care of a parent who was dying, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have a job for a couple months when I moved back, and then when I finally did get a job and my father passed away, I didn't want to ask anybody for help, and at that point, my my APR has kind of shot up because I couldn't make the payments.
Mm-hmm.
And then I immediately got into nursing school.
Okay. It's disturbing me that you wound up on the hook for those payments because by federal law, you are not to be held responsible for fraudulent charges.
Yeah, I was absolutely penalized for it, though.
This is the time when people need to talk to a lawyer. You really do have to be on top of that kind of thing. And if your rights are being violated, you know, push back with a lawyer, push back with even a lawsuit because they're not following federal law.
But it sounds like, Katie, this happened when you were fairly young. You probably didn't know about this. You know, these kinds of things can happen, and then you get pushed back further and further and a couple of mishaps, and, you know, you find yourself in a lot of debt.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah. But it's not insurmountable debt, Katie. I mean, one way or the other, there's a solution. I think you probably will be able to pay this off. And if it turns out that bankruptcy is the best option, you know, the reality is bankruptcy while you're young, that gives you plenty of time to recover from it. It's not the first choice. You will deal with the, you know, the fallout for up to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's the best of bad options. I don't think it's going to be the best option for you, but you need to go talk to some experts to find out.
Okay.
So, Katie, does it help a little bit, I hope?
It does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call and good luck to you.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
Liz, thanks so much for coming in today.
Always my pleasure.
Your concerns are ours here at Marketplace Money, so please share them with us. Post to our Facebook wall, tweet us at Marketplace APM, or go to marketplace.org and hit contact.